The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Here I am. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday. Feels like Monday to me, y'all. Because I got back in town last night, and usually I get back on Sundays. Who cares? Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday. I'm kind of sad because that only means we have three more shows to go before the weekend. I like this show. It was a wild weekend for me in on tour. Friday night Vegas, Saturday night Seattle, Sunday night Jacksonville, Oregon. Not Florida. It was so fun. One show Vegas, two shows Seattle, one show Oregon. Man, it just reminds me of how much I need to do. Like, repetition makes me better. Like, one-offs. I can be, you know, you can catch a lightning in a bottle at some points when you just do one show here and there. But you're taking a gamble. But when you are, when I'm, by the end of the week, by the second show, by Seattle, I had all the, you know, Vegas, I worked out some of the kinks. No one seemed to notice, but I got to start dressing more comfortably on stage. I tried to dress like Vegas-y, you know? Like, I wore this dress that I am obsessed with that I got at Saks on sale when I was in West Palm Beach doing a birthday party over the summer, like a private party. And I got this dress, and it's so like Britney Spears pre-freedom. And it's just makes me feel like a pop star, but I'm just not
Which
comfortable.
Dress is it?
It's
Leopard?
Black and like, it's black and really sparkly and really short and has, you know, a mock turtle, like it has a turtleneck kind of thing. And then has long sleeves, you know, like it's just looks like Taylor Swift pop star. It's a great dress. And it was weird because I bought it, and my stylist, who I use for like all my big shows that I do, had they go, that looks really familiar, and they sent me a picture of me in a fitting from a couple years ago in that dress as one of my like final options. So finally, I have a good eye. And then it was so sweet because, well, like, it's been really fun for me on the road to like dress up and have an excuse to, because, you know, like I said about Dancing with the Stars, it was an excuse to like dress slutty and be like, well, they made me, because it's like, it's fun to dress slutty sometimes. And, but that's what this tour has been too, because it's like these big theaters. Like when I'm doing, clubs, it always felt a little just, I was overdressed to really dress up. It didn't even occur to me, but when you're doing a theater, I just really love wearing fun things that I wouldn't normally get to wear. And so I've been ordering from Rent the Runway and just buying like insane things that, you know, it's on Poshmark. I went wild this weekend buying stuff, but the thing is, so in Seattle or in Vegas, I was confined to this dress. I was worried that my spray tan was sweating off because my thighs, it was really hot on stage and I was getting a lot of flop sweat from my flop, which is, I wasn't bombing. So it wasn't like, you know, flop sweat in that way, but it was, I should call my vagina my flop. So it was like, I was just sweaty there and it was running down. But the leg spray I got, Sally Hansen, I left my spray last weekend and this is, who cares? I left my legs, the spray is the best because it dries quickly and it will not come off unless you shower and like scrub with a towel. And then it comes off very easily. It is by far the best spray tan out there. It does not last. It's a one-time use thing, but it is seriously, you spray your legs and it's just, you don't have to rub it in or anything. I left it in Charlotte. So this weekend I had to like grab the stuff that I had from before that's like more lotion-y. Same Sally Hansen, but it just goes on streaky. I had so many streaks on my legs and it was sweating off and I was just paranoid the entire show that I was going to have stripes of sweat going down my leg. And when you're thinking of anything else, it's hard to be in the moment and like enjoy yourself. And I'm thinking about how short my dress is, and it was a late show. It was a 10 o'clock show on a Friday. And so most people, That's why Steve Martin quit comedy. He said it was the late show on Friday because people work all day. They woke up. They're so tired from the whole work week. They get wasted before the show. And then they go to a 10 o'clock show. They're tired. They're drunk. It's just not the best place. It's, even I'm not my best. Like, you know, we flew into Vegas on Friday and we got in. It was so much fun. The Mirage, like, treats me like a queen. I got this amazing suite. It was Emil, Andrew, Anya, Matt. We all got there and just hung out in my room and we're like throwing grapes in each other's mouths, just like Vegas. Like that's our version of Vegas, is like soberly, like using my fruit tray as just such debaucherous fun. And then Anya and I got to like spend alone time talking, which has been so great to bring a friend on the road and just send everyone away and be like, we have to do boy talk or whatever. And then I got ready for the show and was like jamming out to like such good tunes in my like Vegas suite, just like getting all pretty. And like, it's fun to take that process very slow sometimes, curling my hair, just getting, actually blow drying my hair. Whole other story. Doesn't matter. But, and then we go to dinner. We had a dinner beforehand at 8 o'clock and then the show's, or at 7 o'clock and then the show's at 10. We went to this dinner at the best time at this dinner. And also, can I just say, I'm obsessed with this song by Glass Animals called Heat Waves. It's like the new, it's like the number one song on Spotify. And I only know it because Taylor Swift put it in one of her TikToks. And it's just really, really good. And so I was just, and you know, with me, I just listen to a song until it makes me sick. I binge it, just like everything. Like I just, you know, I'm always into eating one certain type of food and I want it for every meal, and like deviating from it makes me go like, no, you know, and then I get sick of that food and then I move on to another food that I get obsessed with. And I'm the same way with music and pretty much everything in my life. But Glass Animals Heat Waves is dope. So I'm listening to that. And then we go to dinner and we had the best dinner. We were like, I mean, we were talking a lot about 9/11 because Emil and I are 9/11 heads. And Noah, we were talking about, well, we didn't get into it, but it just reminded me of our show, You Up, where mm-hmm. we were talking about 9/11. I think it was like on, it was maybe around an anniversary when our serious show.
Yes.
And Jen, our beloved co-producer, assistant, who is often on air, I went around the room and just asked everyone, like, because I'm obsessed with 9/11 in a way that I know, like, a lot of facts about it that I just thought everyone knew. And she's young, by the way. How old is Jen?
Jen is in, at that time, she was in her mid-20s.
Okay, so she was in her mid-20s. And so when 9/11 happened, she was fairly young. Like, yeah, she was probably in middle school, probably early middle school, maybe fifth grade. I asked everyone how many people perished in 9/11. Like, you know, not later on from, you know, inhaling the stuff. Yes, yeah. And depression and all the stuff. But, like, that day, how many people did we lose? We went around the room and it got to 10. Oh, we wrote on paper. That's right. So we didn't influence each other. Jen... sweet, sweet Jen wrote down 1 million people. Oh, Jen. And that was so funny to me because that, if that was the number, I mean, that would be, I mean, 9/11 couldn't have been any bigger except in Jen Daniels' world, in her mind. And she, to think that something killed 1 million people, when really, I mean, like, it's... it reminds me of a Sarah Silverman joke where she was like talking about the Holocaust with her niece. That's like the worst. It reminds me of a joke of Sarah Silverman. She does a lot of Holocaust jokes, but she does them very, I think they're just really smart jokes. But it was like something like my niece said, I remember it now. My niece and I were talking about the Holocaust and my niece said, you know, Aunt Sarah, 60 million Jews died in the Holocaust. And I said, actually, it's 6 million. And my niece, who's like, she was like 8 or something, she goes, I mean, yeah, but like, what's the difference? You know, and Sarah goes, well, 60 million is unforgivable. I mean, now I look back on it and I'm not that big of a fan of it. But just the way Sarah delivers those jokes always gets me. One of my favorites that I quoted the other day to Andrew was, she was talking about you know, Sarah, I think, doesn't do this character much anymore because it got her in so much trouble. But she used to play like a character in her stand up that was really stupid and like naive. And I like would say things from a kind of racist perspective, but just being too stupid to know that it's wrong, you know. And now she can't really do that character anymore because people are like, what's the difference between you saying that and the character? And it's like, well, the difference is she's playing a character, even though she's bringing brought on stage as Sarah Silverman. The joke is that this person delivering the joke is stupid. You're stupid if you don't understand that. And I don't understand why she can't get away with that, yet writers on Veep can write the most racist. I mean, Veep is my favorite show, but the jokes on that show, if anyone told them as a comedian on stage, you would be canceled. Like 90% of their jokes. Yet we don't go to those writers and say, you get to have to lose your job because you wrote that joke. Because it's for a character. So what's the difference? I'll tell you the difference. Sarah Silverman's joke is unforgivable. Callback. Okay, so. But her joke that I told Andrew the other day was, and it always, this joke made me, where I was just like, oh, that's the level of which I want to work at. She was talking about she saw one of those commercials where the kid is in Africa is starving and they're, you know, flies buzzing around their head. And it's like, for a dollar a day, you can, you know, save. And oh, on her Sarah Silverman program, I remember she was like, she was taping dollars to the screen so that she didn't have to see the horror that this commercial was. But the joke was, she was like, and it just moved me so much that I wanted to do more. So I found a way to ship to them 50 like beautiful J. Crew cowl neck sweaters that were just like, she just, you know, she's coming from the perspective of like, what would she want? You know, she's a selfish person. And so she goes, but here's the joke. She was like, and they're in really fun colors. I loved that line. She's like, really fun colors. And then she goes, and you guys, I got back a letter that said, thank you so much for these sweaters. They were delicious. And that's the line that kills me because the whole premise is funny. And then you go, is there going to be a good payoff? And there is. I digress. We went to dinner talking about 9/11. And then we all ate too much. And we're just like, we have a show? And then we had a show at 10. And it ended up being really fun. But we were all like a little sluggish from dinner and traveling all day and working all week. But then, man... And I didn't love my set, to be honest with you. It ended weirdly. I just kind of ran out of steam. I could tell the audience ran out of steam. I knew we had a dance to do. I bring out Andrew and Anya to come do a dance. And I just like, I didn't, there was no joke that was going to be short enough to get a good applause to be like, thank you, good night. So I was just like, guys, we have a dance. Come on out. It was just like very anticlimactic, like not my best work. However, I did a whole 100 hour and 20 something minutes of material before then. But I know from my studies of reading a third of books that people remember the first thing, the last thing, the thing that made them and the thing that made them the most uncomfortable. Like they don't usually remember the thing that made them happiest. Because the survival technique, you don't really need to remember what's happy because you'll remember that naturally. Like if a plant tastes good, you'll be like, oh, let's go back to that plant. You'll be back there the next day. But if something is negative, you really need to remember that to avoid it. So it's like kind of survival. So when you go to a show, that's why you never remember the funniest jokes. You always remember like, oh, that one bombed. And you remember the first joke and the last joke. Those are always the things. So I ended poorly. So I was like, fuck. They're going to hate me. I went backstage. I needed to be alone afterwards because I was just like, that wasn't my best. And I feel like they're going to be mad at me. You know, I have a little bit of runoff anxiety from some reviews I got early on in my tour. And that weren't wrong. You know, I was smoking a lot of pot and dealing with coming back to work after being off work for a while. So it all checks out. Those people had reason to be not that happy. But I thought I did my best. That's all I can say. But after this show, I was just like, oh, no, this kind of felt not good. I'm going to hear about it. And then I went to the meet and greet, and I'm not in the mood to do the meet and greet because I have to face these people who just saw this performance that I'm not that proud of. But I have to say, like, everyone was so nice and was like, that show was amazing. And all the DMs I got were so nice. So I'm back to not trusting my own self on these things. And I really want to trust the crowd and especially the besties. I mean – So many came out to the shows. Shout out to Nikki, who gave us 2 t-shirts at the Seattle shows. You wrote me a card, Nikki, and I left it in my cards are hard for me to read because it's a lot of like, I just don't feel like I deserve them. So I always like store them away and then I lose them. But it's not because I don't like care that you wrote the card. It's just like, it's too much for me. And I want you to write cards to me because I even think if things go unread, you still get your feelings out. So don't hesitate in writing me letters. And sometimes I do read them. I left it in my Seattle hotel room and I almost turned around, but we were running late. So thank you, Nikki, for those shirts. And thank you to all the besties who came out and just made me feel great. But after Vegas, man, Seattle were the best shows I've maybe ever done. And then Oregon, too, was an outdoor amphitheater. I called it Red Rocks Light because it was up in the hills in Oregon, in southern Oregon. And I was, oh, man, I was in a bad mood. I had a couple mood slips this weekend that I'm not proud of, and I owe some apologies that I'm going to ship off today via email because it's easier for me to apologize in writing than it is sometimes face-to-face. But I was a little bit moody this weekend and not proud of that, but man, the shows felt so good. What I was going to say is that in Vegas, I think the problem was my outfit. And I was only doing that outfit because it was Vegas. And because in Seattle, I wore jean shorts and a turtleneck. And I looked I felt sexy. But I also felt really comfortable because I was in shorts and like looked cool. I mean, honestly, I was kind of doing a Sarah Silverman look. Because she likes to wear shorts with like tights. I wasn't wearing tights, but in boots. I think that's my new stage look. Because I got off stage and I go, okay, that's the special. Because if you don't know, I've been like really worried about my special that I'm taping in November and being like, what am I even saying? Is it funny enough? I finally know what I'm saying. I have a message for it. It's going to, whether or not people think it's funny, which it is, because that's just, it is. I know when I'm not getting laughs, so it is funny. But what it really is going to make men feel better about having a penis that they don't love. And it's going to teach women how to possibly like respect themselves more in terms of like their sex lives. And I have to figure it out how I'm going to do it. But I think at the end of this, like, man, it feels good to have like I felt like in Oregon I gave I made everyone in the crowd feel better about who they were, and I also made it funny. So you know, I did what I do on this podcast, or what I've heard I do on this podcast for people, and sometimes I'm not funny on this podcast, but I was able to make those same messages funny. So I'm finally excited. I walked off stage in Seattle and I go, that's it. I got it. And then by the time in Oregon, it was great. So St. Louis show this weekend. I'm in town all weekend. I'm so excited. I have so much more to talk to you about. Let's do it with Andrew. Let's get him in here. Andrew! What up, Andrew?
Paul McCartney.
I mean, I just went to Starbucks and was sitting there waiting for our stuff. And I saw a guy one of the guy's baristas looks, especially with the mask on, identical to John Mulaney.
Did he sound like him?
He kind of did, actually. Really? But I was trying to film him, and I go in there all the time, so I know that someone in there is going to follow me and see that I did that. And I hope I don't get in trouble, but I didn't say anything bad. John Mulaney is a good-looking guy.
Yeah. Well, then it was the old woman that looks like Paul McCartney.
Yeah, did you see it?
I did, and she looks exactly like Paul McCartney.
I mean, exactly
like Paul McCartney. In fairness, every old woman looks like Paul McCartney.
Not like
That was exactly.
Paul McCartney is a gorgeous man or older woman.
He looks like an old like cat now, right? He's got like a cat.
You can't not look a little bit not great when you're old.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I love the way he looks. Like, I've been actually trying to find
the serum.
I'm really into whatever serum he's using. He's vegan. I love that about him. I've been like kind of a shopaholic recently, especially with the new video that we have going on. I'm trying to get acquire a lot of new shirts and things to wear on this and like just fun stuff. And I was talking to someone about what I like to wear and what fashion is to me or whatever. And I just want
what is fashion to you?
Fashion to me is being able to wear things that you, that make you happy, that make, because honestly, like, if you're comfortable, and I don't mean like pajamas, because, well,
some people like pajamas every day,
but like comfort in terms of like, I always get kind of annoyed when girls are like, I wear makeup for me. And I'm like, it is the patriarchy why you wear makeup. Don't say it's for you. You're still trying to achieve a look that makes you feel good about yourself, but the look is based on men's desires. But that's okay. It doesn't mean that you're trying to get men, but you have to admit that it is based in that, if you ask me. But no one is, and I'm not an expert. So feel free to write in the comments why I'm wrong. I won't read them. But I think I realized I like wearing things, first of all, that get compliments from other girls. I don't really care what guys think. I know what guys like, tight things that show my boobs and have holes in them. That's what guys like. If you ever wear something that's a little bit short or like sexy, guys are going to compliment it. It doesn't, no matter what it is.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
It can be a, you know, garbage bag.
We don't care if it's Valentino as long as it has a hole in it where I can put
or
my
Valentino.
Penis.
Yeah. Huh? Or Valentino.
No, yeah, yeah. Both or of
Valentino
them.
Valentino is the TJ Maxx brand of Valentino.
It's the Ferraro of Ferraris.
I'll never forget a Dateline episode where they were talking about, you know, counterfeit electronics. And there was, in Times Square, you know, like a store that sold it. And there was a VCR. I mean, this is in the 90s. And they were like, this VCR, you think says Panasonic, but what it does say is Panasoanic. I just love that there's an extra A in it. Panasoanic. So.
Did it work, though? I wonder.
I'm sure it works a little bit. Yeah, you know, any knockoff thing.
Like our TV that we got for $38.
No, our TV is great. There's something glitchy about it, but it's worth $38.
Should we talk about the family whose accounts we use? Oh, okay, never mind.
Poor Plead Scott. So we got this TV from Goodwill that my mom found. Gigantic TV, generally costs $1,200, something like that.
Probably, yeah.
Maybe more. My mom got it for like $40.
TVs, are way cheaper now. It's unbelievable. I bought a 27-inch flat screen 15 years ago, $2,000.
I know. It's computers, too. Like, you used to buy a computer, it would be like $10,000 for this thing that would take up half of your den.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you could show it off.
I mean, it's what you had to do. We didn't know any better.
So we bought the TV.
On the TV, the smart TV, are loaded all of the Netflix, HBO Max, all these accounts that we're just not logging out of laziness, because I honestly...
We have all of these.
We're paying for all of these accounts, but we log into theirs because they're just there. And they're like families. It's Scott, Bethany.
Andrew.
But Scott, his parents probably have a lot of... questions for what he's been watching on HBO Max. I imagine it's a 7-year-old boy and his parents are like, he likes watching scenes from a marriage. Like, our son needs to be going to art school.
This kid's in rehab or is in therapy because of our
He surgeon. Saw the white lotus. It picks it right back up at White Lotus where that guy's getting his ass eaten. Scott just tunes in like, what's White Lotus?
Scott's like, I usually watch cartoons and sometimes I watch White Lotus get ass eaten.
Yeah, I mean, like, that
what's happening, Scott? Oh, they have a sit down.
It's just, you know, putting in your password. I have so many passwords floating around. I don't want to make a new one.
Yes.
I wanted to write a joke about this for a while, but whenever I write a new password, I'm like, I don't want to have to come up with like my dead dog's name, and then they're like, no, you need a punctuation. I'm like, I don't want to be excited about my dead dog now. Speedo!
I guess you guys got to use a question mark there. But then you're calling for your
Speedo
dog.
Speedo was my old dog's name.
I just copied what you just said.
Yeah.
But it isn't.
You asked me the other day, you were like, what was that dog's name? And I said Speedo. What do you think about that?
I like it.
It's a great name. We were on the way to spring.
I mean,
practice.
I just see a nice package. Like, I see the dog wearing a Speedo and his
Speedo is a brand of swimsuit, but that is almost like Kleenex, and that men's underwear like swimsuits have now just be called their Speedos,
okay,
even though
you.
It's like really bath tissue or whatever they call it.
But I it is funny, like anything that if you did a question mark, it'd be like you're calling out
Speedo?
To your dead dog. Speedo, are you there? Or You know what I mean? Yes, like, and then a period, you're not giving it enough for a dead dog.
I just thought it was a funny line to go, I don't want to get excited about my dead dog. And I was always wanting to write a joke that had that. It is a good line. That.
Yeah.
What was, oh, so the, what fashion to me, and we talk about this a lot because we are just purely like, you just look at us and you think fashion. I'm wearing a Whitney Cummings shirt, by the way, that she, I go over to Whitney Cummings. She does a podcast where she's on video and she has a wardrobe closet that she goes into. And when you come over to her house, she's like, do you want to wear something from this? Take whatever you want. And at one point she was like, you can have so many things. I never wore this because it's just not me, but I just.
Why isn't that you though? Because the.
It's just like, it makes me feel like I'm too, like, it makes me feel dressed up and it makes me feel like it's I girly. Have to do the rest of my, like, my hair should be dressed up, then my makeup should be on. My whole outfit needs to match how cute this thing mm-hmm. is when that makes really sense. I can't wear this with, like, biker shorts. And it's busy and it's not, it just doesn't suit, the cut doesn't suit me. I have, like, broad shoulders. I tend to like to, it's just not, but I like it. It looks good. I put it on. I like it.
Yeah, I think it looks cool.
What I was going to say is I'm trying to accrue a bunch of shirts, and I was thinking the thing that I like about what I want to wear from now on, and I know it makes me a child, is just I want to wear things on my shirt that I care about. I want vegan messaging. I want Taylor Swift. I want artists I like. I want cool, like, vintage shirts that have that can spark up a conversation with people who like those things too. So I was looking into vegan shirts because there's a lot of them are so annoying.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, most people hate vegans, and you don't want to be like, vegan AF, or like,
yeah,
don't talk to me till I've had my Satan.
Yeah, it's like the wine o'clock of vegetables.
Yeah, and vegans think they're better than everyone because we are, and because we're right, and we people hate it. And I saw some, like on Etsy, if you type in, like, I was typing in PETA, like vintage, like maybe vintage PETA shirts or something would be cool. And it was like, people eating terrific animals. It was just like, kah! Like anyone who, vegan can be kah, but mostly meat eating, like anti-vegan stuff is some of the kah stuff ever.
Any extreme on either side.
But you know the one I like that I think sends a good message and is like, it gets people thinking, like no shirt is going to make someone vegan. I realize that, but why not try to get someone, it takes nudges. Like for me to become vegan, it took like a lot of messaging. It wasn't one thing I saw and I'm like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Although if you want to go vegan, there is one movie you can watch and it will make you vegan. I have never seen it, but it's called Dominion. And if you really need that extra push over the ledge, without question, that one.
Why it shows how these t-shirts are made?
It shows
the creative process.
Yeah, it's just footage of a bunch of hipster vegans in Williamsburg at a coffee shop sitting over a table.
Who eat meat in the janitor's office and don't tell anyone.
Yeah, sitting over a laptop going, wait, I think it would be better with this font. Like, no, the one that I really like, and tell me, what do you think about it? Well, this one is very popular, but I want to make my own.
Okay.
It says, eating animals is weird, is usually what the thing says.
Yeah.
So that's one, which I think that. Is interesting because it's like, people don't even think about it like, oh, that is kind of weird to like eat animals. And maybe it's not weird because they're like, we're carnivores and we should and we hunt and that's, but I think the thing I would want to change it to, which I think would get people a little bit angry and wanting to be like, what does that mean? Eating animals is gross. See, because if you say gross, people are going to go, that is a judgment on them mm-hmm. more than weird. Because some people like being weird. Keep Austin weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But gross will make people go, no, I'm not. What do you mean by that?
They'll get defensive and then they'll eat more meat. I think weird is good because it nudge, like you said, it's a nudge. And I know sometimes it's you
want
to do more than a nudge. You want to put it down their fucking throat, be like, put an asparagus down their throat.
Yeah.
But I like last night I watched, or I was on the airplane, I was watching this video. There's this quarterback who plays for the Chicago Bears, right? And he played for Ohio State Buckeyes and Georgia, whatever. This guy, Justin Fields, and he did a 30-day like cleanse where he stopped eating meat. He started eating vegetables. He started drinking this like kind of weird like drink that, you know, smells like urine. And he started to feel better, and he lost like 20 pounds from it. And it was just supposed to be for 30 days, but now he's doing it forever. He's made it his lifestyle. And that's who he is now.
It's We'll see if it's forever.
But my point is that like that was a nudge where it wasn't like fuck you for eating meat. It was more like, oh, here's the benefits for me for vegetables. That's all I'm saying.
I get that.
And I just thought it was like interesting to watch it because it's
that makes me think like eating disorder stuff. So I don't tend to like want to appeal to people's weight loss and like.
No, but it wasn't about weight loss. It was about feeling healthier.
Well, I think you'll feel better if you aren't contributing to animals being hurt. I think that should give you enough of a sense.
But don't you see how that could be a nice thing for or a way for people to see it without feeling like.
But what do I say for that? Do I go, there is a guy that used to play for Georgia. He also plays for Alabama sometimes.
No, Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Yeah, way
his, off. I think his name is Justin Fields.
Yes.
He always used to eat meat. Then one time he went on a cleanse.
And yes.
So this is the whole scripture on my shirt.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to think of what to put on the shirt.
On the back, it says he got drafted by the Bears. He ran a 4.3
at the combine. What about this shirt? So eating animals is weird. I'll get that shirt because I think that's interesting. You're right. It's a nudge. What about one? I always love this one where it's an animal's face, but half of the animal is a dog, the other half is a cow, and it says no difference.
I like that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
I mean, but then you're going to have friends, not food. And it's a bunch of animals that we eat.
I think you could go.
And it's the Friends logo.
For humor reasons, you could go like that. Fuck you, you fucking fuck.
I want to tell you the one I got that I do love. You tell me what you think about this one, Andrew. This one.
What if you like to cook your broccoli in conservative tears or something like that? You know what I mean?
Yes.
I marinate my broccoli in conservative tears.
I'm not trying
to
get Trump voters to go vegan. That's the last. They're lost.
I want to. I love this shirt. It's so a regular good. Shirt.
I mean, it's a cool design, right?
I love a black T-shirt with colorful colors.
It almost looks
Miami
80s,
Vice.
Like, it's Miami Vice, like pink and blue, like our background here.
Yes.
What does it say?
I want to F you tonight.
So what is it? What do you think it means, vegan wise?
This is a vegan shirt?
Yeah.
I want to,
It says, I want to F you tonight.
Yeah, I just thought it was a cool shirt.
How long is this going to take him to figure out?
I want to F you.
Wait, Noah, can you get it without seeing the shirt? It says, I want, and then to, and then F you tonight.
And it's a, like the letter U?
Yeah. F. Letter U.
Oh, duh. I mean, I couldn't even figure that part out.
No. What do you think it is? Wait, hold on. Let me show it to you, Noah.
Yeah, hold it up to the thing. Oh. I want to F you tonight, and it's vegan. How would anyone know that's vegan? I don't think. I want to foo you.
I don't want people to think I'm trying to get laid tonight. It's a vegan message. I want tofu tonight. That's why I love it. It's sex and
rock and roll.
And and vegan.
Yeah, I don't think people. I would say 1 out of 20 people tops would come up to you and go tofu. Maybe 1 in 100.
Well, I mean, I guess if people are thinking I'm wearing a shirt that says "I want to F you tonight," like that's hilarious too. Because who would wear that?
Well, and then you go home with them and go, look, I'm only going to fuck you if you don't eat meat. So it works either way.
I go over to their place and I'm like, where's the tofu? And they're like, what? And I'm like,
what? And then, yeah.
And then they get soft and their dick looks like tofu. I'm like, I want it extra firm. All right, let's get to the news.
Apparently, here it comes.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
And.
Oh, man. Hope you had all the swells this weekend. We sure did. We traveled a lot. We saw a lot. We saw a lot of Pacific Northwest. And boy, are we happy to be back in the Midwest. But
I love that Pacific Northwest air. Oof.
A lot of air. A lot of air up there. Moisture.
Just like feels cool and moist.
Yeah, like tofu.
Like tofu. Like 2FU.
All right. First story, here we go. Here it goes. Go time. A woman slams a nightclub in Manchester for not letting women in if they don't wear high heels.
What is this club trying to do? Why they're trying to get in? I mean,
people, and you know,
I
guess, she's mad.
I bet this girl was just not dressed up enough in general, and they maybe just pointed at that. Like, it says no high heels, no
Well,
shirt.
There was no, it said dress.
Bottle whatever, service?
Like, nice. I forget exactly what they said, but they didn't say, you know, high heels specifically. And this person showed up in sandals or flats, and they're like, no, get out of here.
I'm guessing it's just like she was just dressed, not like, oh, wait, let's see what she was wearing. And it's so funny because the picture that we're seeing is she's standing around men who are all in sneakers.
Yes.
And that's what I was looking at the footage.
I think that might be the girlfriends.
In sneakers?
Yeah, so some of her girlfriends were in sandals, flat sandals, and sneakers, but her critique on her TikTok video is that the club let in men with sneakers or something.
So she and her friends didn't get in because they all were wearing not heels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's such bullshit. And, you know, it's like, why would you want to go to that club anyway? Because it's probably, but maybe it has good drink specials and you're meeting someone there. You should be able to go anywhere in whatever shoes you want. It's just you have to wear shoes.
Yeah.
Or you can't wear those ones that have like, that look like the socks with the toes.
If you're insanely hot too with these clubs, they don't care. Like, they're like, oh, you're showing your tits. Oh, but your shoes. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that she's not attractive. I think I saw somebody over that she was attractive, but I'm saying like these clubs, they tend to, depending how rich you are,
dress codes in places. What about places where you walk in and they make you go get a sports jacket, or they like make you wear a tie or something? Like, it's so stupid, but you know, I'm
no backwards hats, no flat brim hats, no long shorts, no
bald men, apparently, is what they're saying there.
Yeah, no bald.
no guys who are insecure about being bald. I mean, this got me thinking because I was looking at photos. I was looking at photos from this weekend, and like, it's just so funny to see me and Anya in like these sparkly like outfits with heels on and our hair and makeup, and Andrew's wearing a sweatshirt from Hanes and jeans and dirty sneakers. And it's just like, where? What? Like, how? Like, isn't there a middle ground for you? And there's not, because that's just who you are, and you get to, I like that you dress how you want and you look good and comfortable, but it's just like women's fashion is so punishing. And I was just saying this to Noah, like the reason I had fun in Seattle was so much about I was wearing boots that weren't too heeled. I was wearing jean shorts. I was wearing a really like covering shirt with like a turtleneck that had like a hole in the, so you could see my tits in the front. So God forbid.
No bra.
I'm going no bra all the time because it's just like bras always get in the way. The strap's always showing. Why am I ashamed of my boobs? Like, because it makes men like see my nipples. Like, who cares? Like, I just don't. They look good. Sometimes they're in tip-top shape, and I just feel like, oh, I don't really need a bra tonight, and I just don't care. And I know, and you know what? There's something to look at if you're bored with my set. Yeah. I know that's wrong to say, but sometimes people zone out, and they want to look at some tits, and at least I got some...
People talking afterwards, like, what was your favorite joke? Tits.
The first and last tit. I was saying before that you only remember the first and last thing of someone's set. After the show, it's funny though, because like wearing no bra, everyone's talking about it and thinking about it, whether or not they're talking about it. But unless you say something, no one's going to say something to you. This is your friends. This is people you work with. But after the show in Seattle, where I wasn't wearing a bra, I was doing the meet and greet, and a girl gave me a Taylor Swift journal, and it really moved me. Like, I was so excited because I just love anything Taylor Swift, but it's like this was in this really nice case, and it was just beautiful. And I just finished my writing in my Taylor Swift journal I bought a few months ago. So I was like, I need a new one anyway. And I was just moved by it, and I was like, oh my God. And I said it really loud. There's this whole line of people waiting, and I go, this just made my nipples harder than they already are. And everyone laughed so hard because it was like everyone knew. Yeah. Everyone has already thought about my nipples. Everyone. It's just like, and that makes me feel, sometimes I'm like, I hate when someone's thinking something about me that they think that I don't know about me, which is that. But what are you going to do? I don't know.
I mean,
and like you just said no bra, it kind of annoyed me because it's like you you knew that and you like saw my nipples, and it just like makes me feel weird because you're like my friend, and like it was, it felt like that now I'm like, yeah. I should protect my friends by not showing my nipples around
them. I didn't say
anything
was bad about it.
I know, but the fact that you noticed means that you were just like, Hickey's not wearing a bra.
I wasn't like that at all. I was just saying, you were saying your outfit. And I literally just mentioned that was part of your outfit. Was it not?
To me, it wasn't. To me, it was not part of my outfit at all.
Well, you're saying, well, it's truth. It's an observation. Yeah. It's not, I'm not lying here. I'm telling you that you wore an outfit that you
said
made you feel comfortable.
It would never be of note to me that I wasn't wearing a bra as part. To me, bras are comfortable. Not wearing a bra is generally uncomfortable, except if my tits are like,
but
harder.
It is of notice of you because you just said so much about how the audience perceived your tits, how they didn't say anything about your tits until you said something about your tits. Obviously, you were thinking about
it. But when I was describing the outfit, it didn't occur to me to say that. That's what I'll say.
Okay.
That's until you said that. But yes, that's kind of
like
the elephant.
And I did want to just squeeze them like this.
Tune in Tokyo.
Anything go through your mind when you're not wearing a bra and you're about to hug somebody?
No, that doesn't cross my mind because generally you're hugging someone not shirtless. So they're not going to like feel, you know, like the fabric on them is going to protect you. No, I don't think about that. Do you think about that?
I do.
What do you think? That the guy's going to feel the boobs on him?
Well, for my boobs, usually my bras have some kind of like a hardened cup. It's never like just a fabric.
Pad. Yeah.
Right. Right. And so whenever, like, I've been wearing a bra less and less, and whenever, like, I'm about to hug a friend or anyone, right, I have to do this hug where I'm just, like, touching with, like, my clavicle.
Oh,
and, like, the rest of my body
clav.
Is away because I don't want them to feel like my boobs.
Interesting. I've never thought about that.
I guess if I was wearing, like, Umbros or, like, some kind of shorts where my balls and penis were more
prevalent.
From a male
perspective, if you hugged a woman that you clearly wasn't wearing a bra, would you like kind of try to feel with your chest?
I don't think so. Although, you know, guys, you know, if a girl rubs their arm on your shoulder, your tits on your shoulder, you could feel it, but that's not really where you're getting your nerve senses from. So if it's on your chest, I guess you could feel
it,
but it's not like horny. It's not like something that's going to arouse me, I don't think. Although you could take notice of, wow, these are tits on my chest, like probably because you're not used to feeling it potentially.
Yeah, you know, I feel like bras often make me feel more more like a woman than not wearing bras, like because they push them up and they make them really like. Right now, I'm wearing a bra that makes my boobs look huge because it's like it's not a there's not padding in it, but it's like almost like a it just has like a big cup. Like look. That makes my boob look so big. But if I just had on a bralette that is very slinky and like it would almost let them. Now, this is keeping them up because it's an underwire. So it's making them propped up. But if it was just a bralette, which would arguably be more sexy because there's less coverage, it would make it more so I had a flatter chest. And it makes me feel less feminine, actually. This makes me feel like va-va-va-voo.
So why did you wear that bra then today?
Because it was the only one in my drawer.
Oh.
that was like clean. And yeah, just it's so weird. Do your boobs change sizes, Noah, in terms of the month, and like your nipples change and like everything?
Not really my nipples, just my like my boob size. It does increase a little bit closer to my period.
Yeah, mine get like they hurt and they get so swollen and like hard and they look great, but they're just like, oh, and then they deflate and you're like sad and you like miss them. They like go back to being the way they were.
I can't wear certain clothes because I'm self-conscious about my nipples. If I wore like a white see-through t-shirt, I that's all I'd be thinking. I couldn't do it. I wish I could, but you know, one day at a time, one nipple at a time. All
maybe
right.
Try. You ever think about wearing a bra? The man's ear?
Is that a thing?
That was on Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah, Seinfeld. But is that a real thing, you think?
I'm sure.
I mean.
Have you thought about getting a breast reduction?
No.
Or nipple reduction?
No, I'm fine with it now. I'm honestly like, I think I'd be fine at this point. Maybe next show I'll wear like a see-through shirt. see my tits. That's
like one of those burnout shirts. Yeah. All right. Next story.
Smell determines your. Oh, I'm sorry. Pokemon.
I wanted the smell thing, and then I was like, well, actually, I bet the next story is going to be just as of interest to me, and then it was Pokemon. I was like, oh dear God.
Well, you want to do the smell then?
I kind of want smell.
Yeah. I smell you. Okay. Smell determines your overall health, triggers memories, and you can smell like vanilla or urine to different people. The old blue gold
Wait,
dress.
You can smell like vanilla. So the same smell. This, some people smell Yanny. Yeah. Some people smell Laurel.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Wait. My friend Laura hates the smell of popcorn because she thinks it smells like throw up, and that it actually is a common... thing that people are like, popcorn smells like vomit.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's
kind of like, yeah.
Vanilla is one of my favorite scents.
And so is urine.
That's true. And I eat a lot of vanilla. Like, I put a lot of vanilla flavoring in thing. Every single coffee, every single oatmeal I make.
You do love vanilla.
So maybe my urine smells vanilla.
Well, have you ever peed in the shower with a guy in there and he could smell your urine? I got caught because the girl could smell it.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was like, no, it's not.
You could see mine.
Oh, is it very yellow?
Yeah, generally, yeah. I don't drink enough water.
A lot of vitamins. No,
I don't drink enough water. I think it's a hydration problem. But that's interesting. I've never heard that one before. What's your favorite smell? Like, you know, one that you're like.
I love a fresh cut, like a rain on, after rain.
Fresh cut rain?
Fresh cut rain on grass. Fresh grass off rain.
Yeah, okay.
No, I love the smell of, like, after raining, like, after a thunderstorm. That smell, I like the smell of fresh-cut grass.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the smell of, like, fresh cookies.
There used to be a Gap scent in the 90s called grass, and it was so good. I want to try to find that. I bet there's some.
Abercrombie Woods.
Oh, yeah. Noah, do you have any favorite smells that are, like, you know, not typically... Like, not like, you know, perfumes or anything, but like.
I really love the smell of the ocean. Like, seaweed has this very, like, particular smell. It's kind of like, I don't know, almost rotten smell, but
yeah,
I love
but
it.
You like it.
It's interesting you say the rotten.
Reminds
thing.
You of the ocean, probably.
If what? Sorry, I didn't hear.
No, the rotten thing isn't because I like the smell, like, a locker room.
Mm.
Can get like a mildewy, like rotten smell.
Because you associate it with like a
childhood fun football. Right. Justin Fields, he played for Ohio State, you know that.
Oh, yeah. And also Charleston. What was the other one?
Georgia.
That's right.
I like that smell. And it smells like shit. Like to some people, it's, you know, do
I
you
love
like
a
anything?
Permanent marker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like an expo marker.
Oh.
But after a little bit, I was journaling with Sharpies because I just love the feel of them, and they were starting to give me a headache once. So I was like, oh, I'm probably getting high off this. You know, rubber cement, that like glue.
Yes.
That was a great smell.
Gasoline I like.
I don't like gasoline.
What the hell?
People Andrew. Love gasoline. I knew Noah liked gasoline. I didn't know you did.
Yeah, I love gasoline.
I like love, a dog in a, whenever we go to the gas station, I just like stick my head out the window and just go...
You say dog, and my friend Kirsten loves her dog's paws and says they smell like banana bread or something like that. Like the smell of a dog's paws often, or maybe someone online said that smells like that.
How much do you think of smell, though, during the day? I don't, I think we've talked about it before. You're not a big smell person. Like, I don't.
I didn't know that I wasn't a big smell person until I caught COVID ago, and my smell went away. And I thought that would be the worst side effect of COVID. For me, that was... I didn't really get any other symptoms, but I lost my sense of taste and smell. And I thought it was going to be devastating because of how much I love food. And I realized that I did not miss it because I still liked all the same things. It wasn't like I was like, oh, I'm going to eat healthier now, or I'm going to eat these things that I'm usually scared to because I can't taste. I love consistency and like creaminess. And so, you know, my favorite foods are really about consistency more than taste for me. I was blown away that I wasn't as affected by the smell thing. Although I did miss like smelling my underwear to see if they were like clean or not. Or I did miss like body wash in the shower and just being like, oh, I'm getting so clean.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
eucalyptus necessaire that I use that a lot of people got after I did a haul on this show. And... I Yeah, I missed that. But no, I'm all about crunch and like smoothness when it comes to taste.
Well, they say that with smell, the vanilla versus urine, it's if you smell androstenone, like if you're like, there's certain things that certain people like.
Yeah, there's certain receptors that they can smell things that other people can't.
And if you can't smell that well, there are diseases that are like.
More common that you're going to get.
Depression, schizophrenia, Parkinson's disease.
Great.
No,
I have a good sense of smell. I just don't need it as much as I thought I did. But there was this one
dogs
time.
Dogs could smell COVID in you now.
I know. I heard that.
Fucking wild.
That's ironic too, you know, because you lose it with COVID.
Yeah.
But there was one time I bought a credenza from fucking CB2 or something. Anya bought it for me. She was at the store and she was like, "Do you like this?" And I was like, "Yes, get it." I mean, I purchased it with my money, but she like sent me a picture and I'm insecure about like picking out furniture and think I have bad taste. And I was like, "Do you like it?" She was like, "I love it." I go, "Then yes, I'm going to get it." It arrived at our place and I opened the cabinet and I miss it so much because, and this is a weird one, it smelled, it's the only time I've ever smelled the smell since, exactly like the psych ward I was in when I got admitted when I was, you know, 18. I was in a psych ward for like, I don't know. I don't even know how long it was. Some people think it was a week. Some people said it was a month. I don't even remember. Which is really funny because I was reading that September 11th article that I was obsessed with in The Atlantic. And they were talking about how each person remembers something of how long this girlfriend stayed with the family of the guy who died. She was dating the guy who died in the towers. And she stayed with his family because her family.
Oh, like after the fact?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of them thought she stayed for 6 months. She thought she stayed for a week. Others thought she stayed for a month. Like it was all over the fucking map. So, but anyway, this cabinet smelled exactly like that hospital. And I've never smelled it before or since. But it was actually like, it just brought me back to it there were some good things that happened in that hospital for me that I was just, that only I witnessed, only I will ever, I'm not friends with anyone that I met in there, even though I made friends. And so it's just almost like this, it's almost like a thing that's dead. Like I got to remember a thing that died to me.
Whoa.
It's really cool. But then I sold it. So I got to find that again. I wonder what it was.
It's interesting that you say that because like, how do, you know, when people go on the stand and they're like, where were you on Tuesday, January? It just makes me think, like, if they, like, went through something crazy, like, they're not going to even, they could put a, like.
Oh, memory is completely unreliable. Have you heard of, like, how they'll have a mock, like, they'll have a bunch of witnesses witness a robbery. A woman's purse gets snatched, but they'll set it up, and then they interview everyone of what they saw, and it's like, people think for sure that they remember things correctly, and they don't. So, whenever we get in a fight where I'm like, I know it's that. I'm always in the back of my head like, no, you don't. You could be totally wrong. So
and I'm like, she needs to go to a psych ward. That's what I
get in that cabinet. Get in that credenza. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back with Why Do I Care? All right. Why do I care? I'm guessing this is going to be related to the Emmys.
No.
Nope. Oh,
no.
Really? The Emmys came and went and I did not even know.
Well, we had a show.
I know. We had a show that night, but still.
I know. I thought about that. I was like, everyone at this show didn't watch the Emmys, and so I like them more.
Not only did not everyone at the show not watch the Emmys, no one watched the Emmys.
Oh, do you have to do Why Do I Care?
Yeah, she does. Sorry, Why do I care?
Okay. Why do I care?
So at the Emmys, no. Chelsea Handler.
Oh, I know. She's dating Joe Coy.
Everybody get up. Everybody up.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy for her and him.
I mean, I don't know them at all, so I can't.
I saw
you know
this last night,
bit.
And I was like, holy shit.
Does it make sense to you?
No.
Oh.
No.
Read what she said, though.
No,
I
think Coy?
I know what she said. She was like, I just am taking this moment. She looks beautiful in this picture she posted on Instagram. I'm taking this moment to reflect on how important everyone is in my life and how many amazing people I have in my life. And I also want to say that I am in love. And
the best kind of guy there is.
Yeah.
There's hope for everyone. Yeah. That kind of stuff.
Oh, it honestly gave me hope. I'm like, Chelsea was so... you know, what's the word for it? Cynical about love.
Jaded.
And jaded when it came to finding a partner and just, you know, it dated guys in the past, but she never really, I mean, just based on reading that one, her latest book was just like, it's not for me. And I might not ever find it, and I don't even know that I'm like looking for it. She just seemed like over it and not needing it, which is exactly how I've been feeling recently, of like, my life is pretty fucking good without a partner. I mean, unless someone is truly incredible and making my life so much better, I just don't need it. Like, there's, I'm not waiting for my life to take off when I find a partner. Like, it's already taken off. If I died tomorrow, no one would be like, Nikki never had a love.
Yeah.
No one would say that. Honestly, I don't think anyone would be, Nikki never had a husband or one true love. And when I realized that, I was like, yeah, it's not a part of my life that's really, people are like, poor Nikki. I mean, at least I don't think they are. And if they are, it's always inspired by me being like, I want a boyfriend. But I'm not saying that shit anymore because I don't feel it. But Chelsea and Joe Coy, she's known him since 2005. Yeah. He was on her TV show on the panel night after night. I mean, he was one of the fixtures of it. That's when I was going with him on the road and he was coying. He was one of her most popular panelists, and that's why he was able to coy and have fans, is because she put him on Chelsea Lately. She would always tease him, and they were like, I think he was maybe even married at the time. But she was, you know, she would do the deadpan Chelsea thing of just like making fun of him, and he was like, take her shit. And like, and I don't know, I can't wait to find out how they got together and like, what happened. But I think it's so sweet because then they were together canoodling at some football game.
Dodgers game.
Dodgers game. And then TMZ asked him afterwards, like, what's with you and Chelsea? And he's like, she's just, how beautiful is she? She's the most beautiful woman. And they were like, are you dating? And he's like, I don't know. But the way he described her, like, was just like, oh man, this guy's in love. And, you know, I hadn't seen that footage prior to the story coming out, but it just made me so happy for both of them. And, I want to coy for their relationship. I coyed this weekend a bunch.
He got very famous recently. I wonder if like how much of it is seeing him on like an equal playing field as opposed to like when he worked for her. You know what I mean? Like, and then they separated.
Yeah. I think he's been famous for a while now though. It's so funny. Yeah. The other day, Sarah Lena, my good friend, we were on WhatsApp sharing stuff, and she was like, have you ever heard of this Joe Coy? Nikki, you might have heard of him. And I was like, that's so ironic that I was just talking about coying today. Of course I know Joe Coy. She's like, I don't know, girl. I just like was listening to him, and it just made me feel so much less alone because he talks about, you know, having a Asian parents and how strict they are and how they'll never be proud of you and how they, you know, they don't love you enough and all the like emotional abuse. And she was like, it made me feel like, oh my God, I didn't have a mom. It's not like I'm unlovable. That's just the culture. And I was like, how wonderful that she was able to feel that way about him. Like his comedy made
like an Emmy Award speech.
Yeah.
She has a perfect voice for like to win an Emmy.
She talks like this, and she's from California City, California. She's my friend that's a model, and she talks like this because she grew up watching like old movies. And she does, I don't know, girl. I'm worried. But it was just delightful that I was all cynical about Joe Coy, you know, asking for a standing ovation by standing up, and which I will say it again and again, he deserved it. I mean, he put on a show that I watched being like, I'll never be able to perform that way and like have people that fucking pumped to see me. And
hey, you got some standing O's this weekend.
But that's what I said. I got to that point. I did get some standing O's. And one could argue that I was coying because I did stay up there to address them because I was bringing you guys out.
Yeah, I don't think you coyed though. You did raise the roof a little bit.
Say, I didn't do that.
You
I didn't
all
do the
will get killed.
Oh
and
God,
yeah.
You guys! I want to show you so bad. The person that does that, coying is brought to a new level by the person that does this subconsciously when she's
Is it sub?
And the this it might be is just like raising your hand up and down for the people.
Oh yeah, sorry for the people listening. This is the most subtle. Raising, okay, walking out on stage. This is it. Oh my gosh, thank you.
Waving.
And just
like upside down waving?
Like upside, like it's waving and then just doing a sweep of like up. And you're in the audience and you go, you wouldn't even notice it, but it's a subconscious way to get people to stand up. Yeah. And I don't even think this person, I said she already, I don't even think she knows she's doing it.
Yeah.
But it works. Because sometimes you do things And it's almost like evolution. Like you, this is getting a result and you don't even know that that was the behavior that got the result. But now you're going to do it all the time subconsciously and you'll probably pass it on. Like when you start talking with an accent without on purpose.
Yeah.
But it's because it's giving you, it's making these people respond to you in a better way. And yeah. So you adapt. So I'm not accusing someone of being manipulative, but they should stop doing that.
I get that.
Let's get to Reddit.
I understand you there, man. Hey, let's go to Reddit down.
Let's get to Reddit down.
Down to Reddit down.
All righty. This is your Reddit dump. Ooh, karaoke mode. All right, so
karaoke mode.
I got some good ones today. I want to get to the ones that I saved a little bit ago because there's one that's. Oh, wait, no, that one was so funny. Fuck. Okay, hold on. There was one that. Oh, where is it? It said like, oh, it was one. If you heard this song and depends on what. Man, I didn't save it. I suck. But it was one of those like a
vanilla
blue dress.
Urine. Yeah.
You know, what was the dress? It was either blue or
gold.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was one of those. And it was like brainstorm or rainstorm or green beret. Like it was like word you're reading is what you hear. It's really creepy. Okay. This is from Dating Advice, subreddit Dating Advice. It says, shout out to women who communicate about sex. I met a gal a few weeks ago and have been texting and getting to know each other. I'm reading this. This is obviously written not correctly. Things have been escalating and we made plans for this weekend. Pretty standard. This last weekend, she told me that since it looks like sex is on the table for this weekend, we should chat a bit to make sure we are on the same page. Whoa. She asked me to provide her with proof I am clean. She did the same. And we did a quick rundown of preferences and expectations and boundaries to make sure we are on the same page. She told me how to handle her orgasm and so on. I was so impressed by this. It wasn't awkward, but it eliminated so much uncertainty. It was really nice to talk like an adult rather than assuming and just going for it. I wanted to say how nice this is. Well, what do we think about that?
I mean, yeah, that is something to ask for test results or, you know, to make sure someone's clean. Like have all their teeth and everything. No, but I think like you have to show the data to test. Like I think
let's talk about the test aside.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's obviously important, and we all know that, and none of us fucking do it. I'm talking about the preferences, and this is how I come. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. Those things that we all kind of just. Enter into the bedroom and we start just like trying things out. And there's something about trial and error that's fun.
Yeah.
But I would argue that it's honestly not that fun and it's really awkward. And it makes for like I was saying on the pod the other day, when a guy's going down on you or a guy's doing something to you and it's not what you want, I'm someone who has no problem telling people what I want. You know that. But there's something about sex that makes me feel like I don't want to ruin the mood by being too demanding about like, this isn't good. I don't want to make him feel insecure that he's doing a bad thing. So I can nudge him in the right direction and say, ooh, that's good. But saying like, that's not working. Because sometimes you're like, oh, just only positive affirmation. Well, what if they're doing nothing positive?
Okay. So let's say before you even.
Yeah.
So you don't do it while you're fucking or while he's going down on you. You got to do it beforehand. So what would the guidelines be that
a guy. Watch my special banging. Okay. Banging.
Finger more.
I cannot believe how many people I've hooked up with who literally have everything.
But you wore a bra that night, so.
That's true. No, I mean, I would say.
No, what would I say
if I were this girl?
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. No, well, yeah, like what would your guidelines be? How specific
would
you get?
I have a feeling we're going. First of all, I don't have sex outside of a relationship, so that wouldn't happen to me. But I have a feeling we're going to get down and dirty pretty soon. And I just want to let you know I really like finger stuff. I really like more than one finger in me, as many as you can fit. I like, and this isn't, by the way,
is this an outline form?
I like.
Are you writing? Like, I just like.
Yeah, text, cliffs, then go back into the end notes.
Yeah, yeah. So
the bibliography of this.
So you like more fingers.
However, let me just start with foreplay. Like, you should not go down there until I ask you to. I like a lot of over the pants stuff. I think you can go down there when I still have my jeans on, like outside stuff. But I'll guide you when I'm ready for you to go in.
Okay.
But what about
a guy taking control? You're not into that, though?
No, absolutely. If I put, once I'm being penetrated by anything, that's a good time for you to like hold me down in any way possible and try to make me come. My thing is, I mean, if I could tell a guy exactly, here we go. Try to make me come as hard as you can without, but like ease into it, because a lot of times guys just like start fingering you like so hard and it's just like, we just got started. Like that's for when I'm like about to come. Not, that's like 20 minutes in. Mm-hmm. And I know this is a long time, but like, you know, I would say the goal for me is always try to make me come, but don't let say I can't until you tell me I can. That's, and whatever you glean from that in terms of like holding me down, telling me not to move, all those things, I like that. But okay. My biggest thing would be do not do anything unless I am.
But how specific do you get about like the way you finger me? Because I feel like that's a thing with guys is we will do either the wrong way or like you've talked about this before where like, oh, I like it like that. And then like a
right,
minute
when you
later.
Say that. No, the second yeah. you say it like that, they change it.
Yeah.
And I think we all do that in bed. I think women do that too. Like you'll be getting a blowjob and be like, keep doing that. And you just hear that and you're like, that means faster or something.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so like you just shift as soon as you get some validation. But
it's weird.
I think
yeah.
That's a big one too. The fingering style, I mean, just try whatever you like and then I'll eventually hold your hand and be like this and like, or I'll like demonstrate.
Yeah.
But also if I don't like something, I will stop it. If it's something that's really not enjoyable and I'm not going to fake an orgasm. So you don't have to worry about like that.
I guess the only thing about like getting an instructional manual, because it kind of takes this sexiness out of it when you're reading it, like where to, like how to put together a dresser. But
no, I think there's a sexiness to.
But my point is,
how you can present it.
Is like I want to know maybe there's a way to put together the dresser a different way that you haven't experienced yet. I'm just saying, like,
there isn't. I've like
you know what I'm saying. No.
I get it, but guys always do this where they're like, no, I got it, and it's just like. No,
but there's been moves that have been put on me or a certain kind of blowjob or a certain kind of way we're fucking that I've never experienced before that if I gave you a manual, the manual would have changed.
I'm saying, no, and you're right. I'm saying take this manual and then work within that and put your own, like, I like pizza, so I like these ingredients. Now, I can give those ingredients to many different people and I'm going to get a different kind of pizza each time.
It's like that cooking show.
With spices and stuff. Yeah, like show me what you interpret what you're going to do with all of this.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I would also, so what would you say to a girl leading up to it?
In regards to what I like, like.
Yeah, you're about to have sex. Like, hey, here's some things that I like. Here's some things that I don't like. Anything like that.
I love a blowjob where you let the penis breathe a little bit, like just constant mouth on penis doesn't work as well. I like hand with the mouth. I like it a little.
What about pressure? In terms of pressure, do you like a lot of like a harder pressure or
harder
like
pressure? Hard pressure.
Every guy likes harder. Girls, we are going way too soft.
You could beat the shit out of a penis.
Mateo Lane, gay guy Mateo Lane, who knows a lot about sucking dick and receiving, said that don't start with like your 10, like your performance level. Start with like a 3, mm-hmm. amp it up to a 5, go back to 3, then take it up to a 9. Don't go stay at 9, go back to a 3, 5, 10. Like,
well, it also depends on whether or not you want to have sex or not. Because if you stay at a 9, then most likely I'm going to have an orgasm and then we're not going to be having sex. Or there's a less likelihood. You know what I mean? And then sex wise, just reverse cowgirls fun.
Right. Okay.
With my, dude, I've done this move. I learned it in porn and it feels very vulnerable.
Yeah. Tell us.
I'll do reverse cowgirl, and my legs will be outside her legs. So my legs will be, I'll be spread open.
And her legs will be
inside my legs.
Right.
And it just, it works.
That's good. That's a good move. I
like
that.
Have you ever done that?
I actually kind of did something like that. Yeah, before.
Yeah. It feels very
the
vulnerable.
The positions you
for
come
me.
Up with sometimes when you're doing it, where you're like, no, I need to call someone and let them know that this is a thing. Someone needs to diagram this because we just invented a new one, you know? But they had to have all been done before.
It's so funny.
I gotta say, though, when I describe the blowjob where you're laying on your back with your head off the
yes.
bed, people do not know about that.
Well, it's a strange position to get into. Sometimes
but it makes so much sense
stay...
to make your throat, if you want a deep throat, it makes all the sense.
I mean, there's still people out there that like have to put the covers over them and then fuck missionary still yeah. and stay within like 3 inches.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's one that made me think of you. This is also from dating_advice. Am I being immature for not wanting to date a girl I really liked after I found out one of my friends fucked her? So I was talking to this girl for a while and I got to really liking her. We haven't been very physical as she wants to wait until we're actually boyfriend and girlfriend before we go too far. She must have read Getting to I Do. So she posted a picture of me on her Instagram story and one of my friends ended up seeing it. Later that week, we were hanging out. He mentioned it and asked what was going on with us. I said, we'd just been hanging. I'm assuming my friend thought I meant we were just friends because he told me this. Me and her used to chill together. We hooked up a few times and she is crazy in bed. He said, I of course didn't want to hear this, but now I have and I don't really like her as much anymore. Am I being immature or am I justified in not wanting anything to do with her anymore?
Ooh.
I would say, Andrew, you would feel.
I'm sure people would say, oh, you're
what
being
is it,
immature.
Though? Is it because this girl's going to be is too easy?
No.
You realize she's easy? And
I think
you don't
when I was younger, I would feel that way. I think it's just like a level of just connection and you're like, fuck, I can't believe he, one, got the connection before I did. Two, he'll know about that connection all the time that I'm now experiencing. Like, those kind of thoughts. And
is the connection, like, what her pussy feels like? Is that what you're talking
that
about?
That could be one of them.
Yeah.
That could be it.
This happened to me.
What?
Can I tell you? So, yeah. I was friends with someone that I was also hooking up with in between relationships. And when I got into a new one, I brought my boyfriend around. And my friend goes, she's a wild one in bed. And I didn't know that my friend said that to my ex until we had an argument like way down the road.
And he just brought it up?
He had it stored, I'm sure.
Yeah,
he brought it up. Like he never really liked like the friend that said that. And I was always like, why do you always get so like tense when he's around? And you know, like what's the deal with that? Like, why can't I just hang out with him? And I don't know, I guess I never really got down to the bottom of what it was, but I don't even think it was me hooking up with my friend. I think it was more of like a macho thing.
It definitely could be a macho thing, but if you have a close girlfriend, right, like one of your top five girlfriends, and she slept with the guy that you're now going to maybe date, you wouldn't think about that at all? That's how you would
I'm
feel?
I'm with him now. I got
good
him.
Point.
And like,
yeah. But what about when they like laugh together or like whatever? Like it wouldn't affect you at all, you don't think? Honestly?
Like, no, because he'd be with her if he wanted to. It's not like, and you might argue like, what if she rejected him? I wouldn't be with someone who I thought wasn't like
good enough for your friend.
Good enough for like is was someone that I was like, oh, he's not that good. Like she rejected him. Like I would just feel like, God, she doesn't know what good is. Mm-hmm. And
you don't think it would affect your friendship with her?
No. I mean, I don't. I mean, maybe it might like for her make it weird. Or for the guy, but I just don't. I've had boyfriends who are friends with girls that they've hooked up with, and I've asked about it and they didn't tell me or they were reluctant to tell me because they thought it was going to be a thing. But it just like, if he wanted to be with her, he'd be with her or she'd be with him. And so I just kind of feel like I won because whoever I'm with, I always feels like a prize anyway. So it just is more confirmation of that. Like,
I guess though,
I got them in the end.
Find out more specifics though. If you're like, if your girlfriend was like, before me, was like, man, he fucked me for 45 minutes and he went down on me for 25. Like, he did all this shit and he wasn't doing it with you. Then it would be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there could be issues there. Like, where
right.
it's like, oh, she's a freak in bed and then you're
but
banging
also,
her and she's not doing anything.
And that's probably like, this guy's problem is because he can't sleep with her yet because she's waiting until they're more official. But this girl probably just.
Oh, yeah.
Was,
and she slept with the friend.
She probably drank a lot. I mean, that was in the past. Like, there are guys that I hooked up with that I would never hook up with now. But the person I am now is such a better person that you're getting than the one that hooked up with them. But
yeah, that's
I get like being like, oh, I don't want this car because someone else drove it. But I just it's like, get over it. Final thought. This one is from the subreddit Ask Men. Men, what is the best decision you have ever made in your life? This guy says, Stereo Food says, learn to say no to big decisions even under immense pressure. You don't have to agree to anything that's not fair to you, even if it makes the other person mad. Yes, that's right. I mean, that's what I say all the time is like, don't do things just because you feel bad. Don't do things just because you feel bad. That is not what anyone would want from you. Like, you wouldn't want someone to do something for you just because they feel bad. So, and if you do, then you're a weird person. Like,
I think, well, circumstances, context, is, I don't know. I think, like, there's times where it's harder to make a decision selfishly if there's other things to lose from it.
But I understand doing something selfishly. Like, for instance, yesterday you took a later flight because I made us late for the airport. We couldn't check our bags in time. I took the earlier flight because I just went on without bags. You stayed behind for a later flight that got in way more late, so inconvenient, just because I put us in that position. You may have done that because you probably didn't want to do that. Who would want to do that? But you did it because you were a good friend, and I hopefully was like gracious enough to you to make you feel like, okay, she's not just like, she's not being an asshole to me by doing this. So there's a part of doing things as a favor and being like, oh, this will make my friend happy and make her life easier. But and then there's one thing of doing it just because you feel bad.
I think it was less about friendship and more about like, on the weekend I work for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
If I'm going to be completely honest, if it was just straight up friendship, I would be very upset.
Right, right.
So with our, I mean, we just have a weird relationship like that. I mean, but I look at it like, you know, if you're in the Army and your boss tells you to do something that is inconvenient, you do it because the greater good is I made good money this weekend, I had great shows, and there was a lot of positive, and I want to keep doing that.
Right, right. That makes sense. But I do think that, like, in certain circumstances, let's say we were traveling as friends, and I had to get back for a thing that I had early, that you might do that just out of the goodness of being a friend.
Yes, yes.
You've done stuff for me like that before.
Of course, but yes.
But saying you'd be, you could be more furious at me, but you could have been furious at me yesterday, too. It was completely, would have been fine. I mean, I was furious at myself. But I feel like for you to say I would have been fucking furious is not,
I mean, I didn't say it like that. I would have, I don't know if we could go back. I don't think I said fuck. I think I said I'd be more upset. Did I say furious?
You said something like, which was very angry.
Well, I would have been upset because, like, if...
Because I made us late and then you have to stay behind because of my thing.
Yes.
But in sometimes in life, you...
You even don't think you would be upset if I did that to you?
I absolutely would, but... But I'm saying if I knew you had to get back for something and you were like, I'm so sorry, fuck this, I really fucked it up, like, I'm sorry, that there might be a world in which I would go, yeah, you did fuck it up, but okay, I can do this. And then, like, next time you'll get me when something like this happens.
And I think I was, I'm not saying
so
that.
So that's why I was saying that was maybe a little bit of that too, because I feel like I was apologetic in the best way I could be and took ownership of it.
Yes, and I think I was understanding the best I could be.
You totally were. You were so cool about it. I was like, so it was so nice.
Joe cool.
Okay, some other people said on this thing, the best decision they made, long-term investing. My only regret was not starting much earlier in life. Okay, that's a common one. Someone said, once I found 3 pounds of meth working at UPS, I was using the meth at the time and decided that would ruin me. I turned it in. Oh, that was the best decision they made. That's cool. That's a great one.
So he found 3 pounds of meth. He was on meth at the time, and he knew better.
Yeah, because first of all, he'd probably lose his job. Not only is he a meth addict, but now.
And he found 4 pounds, I've heard. For real.
This one was good. Dropping everything to pick up my son before his mother could move 6 hours away with him. She went down a bad path for a few years, and when I got the text that she was moving and taking him with her, I dropped everything and went to go get him before she could. Thank God my boss at the time was a good dude. I told him the situation, and he told me to drop everything and go. I didn't even have to ask. He just said, go get your son. 10 years later, and my son is doing well. It hasn't been perfect, but the ups and downs, he's turned into a great young man. Oh, that's cute. That's a good one. Are there any, what's your best decision you ever made as a man?
When stakes were high, like something like that.
Just like in terms, like you look back on your life, it doesn't have to be the best one. What's a good decision that maybe other men could learn from?
My toughest decision. Well, I've quit a lot of things, which I think looks a lot of people look at it negatively, and I think we talked about this last week about how quitting could be the strongest thing you've done.
Yeah.
Quitting the job that I was working for my older brother, where money was good, but I was not doing what I wanted to do. I was having insane panic attacks, and instead of sticking with it and manning it out, I ran with my tail between my legs back to Florida, and it caused arguments between me and my brother. And yeah, it was a really tough decision to make at the time. And yeah, I don't know. So
but
something
you Simone
like
Biles.
That. Yeah, Simone Biles. I chose my mental health first.
But probably in the future, you would want to catch it before you would just like abandon the shop. Ugh, like the decision overall was good, but like the way you executed it could be better.
Oh, I've made so many, like where I've quit. You could quit. Quitting can be strong, but how you quit, you can do it in a way with a little bit more tact. But at the time, you just can't because you feel like everything's on your shoulder.
Yeah, it's like ghosting. Like sometimes I just stop showing up for work. Or like one time I quit and the woman was like calling me being like, you have a paycheck here, like come get it. And I was like too embarrassed to like show my face back there, so I didn't get paid for like my last 2 weeks of work because I just was like too
you
scared.
Just left the paycheck there.
Yeah, it was my first job, so sorry to
where
the,
was that at Emo's
En Vogue salon in De Pere. Sorry, Mary, you were really sweet to me.
Why did you quit though?
Because it was just I was really bad at it, and I cried on the job, and I at the time we didn't have computers keeping our schedule, so it was like all pen on paper, and I was crying because I overcharged this woman like $500 accidentally by pushing an extra zero, and cried, and my tear, the woman that was my boss was over my shoulder comforting me, crying at her business for, and she and my teardrop smeared like five appointments because it dropped down and like it was just wiped out. We had no way of getting them back. So thank God for
We got to go over every job we've quit on here. Ugh, at some point.
I've quit so many things. All right, guys, I got to quit this show today because we're out of time. We'll see you tomorrow on the show. Don't be Jack quit.
Jackie Jack.